Abide with me. Abide with me. Don't let me fall. And don't let go. Walk with me.
This is the Influencers Network Podcast. I'm your host, Brian Craig. I'm the Executive Director for Influencers Global Ministries here in Bentonville, Arkansas. I'm back with our founder of the ministry, Rocky Fleming.
Thank you.
Hey, Rocky.
Hi.
Today's podcast, we want to talk a little bit about a verse that is, well, first of all, it's the theme verse, I would say, for the summit. And yes. So that ties in and that's relevant. So we can talk a little bit about the summit as part of this. But there's also some key things that you discovered recently, Rocky, about this that we're going to talk about. So we're just going to dive in this morning. The verse is Matthew 11:28. A lot of you all are probably familiar with it. This is Jesus, and it's an invitation. And this is in the NASB. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I mean, talk about a promise. We talk about promises of God.
Mm-hmm.
And here's a promise of Jesus.
Yeah, talk about a gift.
Come to me if you're burdened. And you know, I feel like we talk about this kind of stuff a lot. Are we the antithesis of the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel?
You know? Not you and me.
we're don't want to be Danny Downer here, but you know, if we're all honest, we know that there's burdens all the time, you know, some we bring on ourselves, some are just come on us out of the blue. It can be a number of sources, but let's talk a little bit about where you were the other day and you read that and you saw it in a different light maybe than before.
Yeah. You know, the rest of that verse goes on, take my yoke upon you and learn from me.
Yeah, the yoke, famous
yoke. The yoke and, you know, shared burden.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the picture there is that we get to carry some of it, but not the big part of it.
Right.
And that's why, you know, that's it. And the key thing, Brian, is that when he says, and learn from me, because the burden oftentimes is what helps us learn from him.
Yeah.
And I don't think he'd want to take that away from us. I know I don't want it to be taken from me. I think I could probably, you know, like everybody else, want my own comforts, and I don't want it to be inconvenience, and I certainly don't want to have an unnecessary burden. I really don't. And sometimes I almost feel like they are unnecessary, some of them anyway. And a lot of them because I brought them on myself.
Yeah.
And learning to avoid certain things like that is, you know, the burden of the burden, but the benefit of the burden too.
Mm.
So back to your question, you know, I've known this verse for a long time.
Yeah.
And I see the yoke almost as I see abiding. Jesus says, come and abide in me and I in you. It's that union with him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the yoke is our union with him. So it's another metaphor in my mind, in the way I view it, another metaphor of relationship, very close, intimate relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no closer relationship than we have than a fellow burden bearer, someone who lifts the load on us. Somebody helps us. Somebody puts their arm under our shoulders and lifts us up and helps us walk.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And that's the picture I get. Now, I was burdened. I was carrying some burdens. And I think the question is sometimes, are they necessary?
Mm.
And if there are necessary burdens, then you don't run from them. You actually ask God's strength, ask his help, and then trudge on.
Mm.
You can't avoid them. You have to lean into them. But sometimes I think we carry unnecessary burdens. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, I can tell you with me that sometimes I'm a burden about things that's above my pay grade.
Mm.
You know, I'm burdened because there's things that I can't do anything about.
Right.
There are concerns that I have. I can't do anything about it, whether it's family members or ministry situations or slander. You can't do anything about certain burdens.
And that's hard for a fixer, isn't it?
Well, yeah. And
a lot of us are that way. We want to fix it all. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we are figure it out.
Right.
Engineer it out. But the fact is that so many of our burdens, yes, some of them are brought on ourselves. But then some of those burdens, we cannot do anything about it. All we can do is carry it. Mm-hmm. So the question is, are we to carry a burden that's not ours to carry? Mm. That's where I was going with that. And so I entered into an intimate time with the Lord. I call it my secret place with Him, mm-hmm. the inner chamber. The time when it gets quiet, I'm away from everything, everybody, every noise, and I'm just there with Him. Mm. And, you know, before this point, I always kind of felt, you know, that place of intimacy with Christ, of being alone with Him, was not to include distractions.
Mm. Like you had to empty yourself of all the,
yeah.
anything that could get in the way.
Leave it outside the door.
Before you go in.
Yeah.
Right.
I was kind of thinking that's the way to do it, because they'd be distracted. And if I carry burdens in there with me, I'm going to be pretty well distracted. I'm going to be thinking about those burdens more than I'm going to be thinking about my time with the Lord.
Yeah.
And I think that was a misunderstanding.
Yeah.
Because it was in that place of quietness with Him that I felt Him speak to my heart and say to me, bring them with you. Mm. Bring your burdens with you. I'm not offended. Fact is, in this intimate place with me is where you lay them down before me. Well, that was refreshing to me, because you see, when you have an invitation from anybody who says, let me have that and I'll take it for you, whether it's a nurse who says to a newborn mother, baby, let me take the child, I'll feed it, diaper it, and you rest, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
So that's a burden that has been entrusted to that nurse. And oftentimes we entrust our children to people that are faithful, who are loyal, who are trustworthy. And some people aren't. And we have to be very careful of that. And that is a burden, right? Mm-hmm. It's a burden that sometimes we have a hard time trusting or entrusting. And actually, I think in this day and time, it's easier to distrust than to trust. Mm. And it's easier to hold on rather than entrust. Mm. But we're talking about God.
Yeah.
We're talking about He who is able, He who is willing, He who cares, He who knows. We're talking about our Father who loves us more than we could understand. And then He says to me in that time, entrust your burden to me. And trust is a word that is connected to trust. You cannot entrust something to someone unless you trust them. Mm-hmm. But you can trust them and not entrust it. Mm. I can trust the Lord, but I might hold on to my burden. But until I entrust that burden to Him and trust that He will be willing to take it from there, then I'm going to always be going back and forth with it. Mm. I'm in conflict. And it was that morning when I was having that conversation with Him that I felt that He was saying to me, entrusted. I've got it. It's not yours to carry. It's mine to carry. It's concerning someone that I'll take care of him. It's mm-hmm. concerning a challenge in ministry. Trust me. I'll take care of that. So, you know, I found that those two or three heavy burdens that I brought in there, I kind of walked out of there without them. Mm. And I felt assured that I've delivered them to the right place for the remedy. Mm. And it gave me a peace, a great peace. In fact, in Philippians 4, it talks about a peace that surpasses all understanding.
Yeah.
And that's coupled with do not be anxious, right? Mm-hmm. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known to God. And then that's just saying the same thing. Pray, entrust it, let it go. No anxiety here. Trust Him. And you can walk away feeling helped. And I did.
You know, and I'm just curious, when I was young in my faith, I thought you'd reach a point as you grow older and you get more mature in your faith that you wouldn't have any burdens anymore. I don't know why I thought that.
I don't either. That's crazy.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I don't know what I was thinking, but you know, then you read about pruning and all that, and you realize that the older branches need even more pruning. You know, the older the branch, the more pruning it needs, you know?
Well, if you're going to be a fruit bearer.
Right, right.
Now, if you get into years that you're no longer fruit bearers, then you won't be pruned, but I don't want to sign up for that.
Yeah, because you've always wanted to keep having a fruitful life.
Yeah, right. But you know, there's vitality in fruit bearing. I mean, it shows your life, shows that Christ is alive in our life. I don't want to be a shriveled up branch. Yeah. I'm secure for eternity. I know that. But as long as I have breath and life, I want to be fruitful.
Well, and I think maybe what I'm learning, I'm not as far along as you are in age-wise, but I think what I'm learning is not to be afraid, not to be afraid of the trials, not to be afraid of the burdens, because they're surely going to come.
Oh, yeah.
I was reading this morning, Rocky, and you're always talking about if you're going to do discipleship, well, just measure your discipleship efforts by, is it producing real disciples according to Scripture?
Right.
Right. Here's what Paul talks about a disciple. He says... this is in 2 Corinthians 6. He says, we commend ourselves in every way by great endurance in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love, by truthful speech, the power of God, with weapons of righteousness for the right hand and for the left, through honor and dishonor, through slander and praise. We are treated as impostors and yet are true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as punished and yet not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing yet possessing everything.
That's quite a list.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, kind of what I hear in that is there's good times, there's bad times. There's times you're going to be treated like dirt. There's times, it's just the way it is, right?
Well, of course it is. And, you know, again, I think we're naive in thinking that we can live in this world and in the value system of this world and not realize that following Christ is a contrast to that, but we're still living it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to cut, you're going to bleed. It's going to hurt. Wrecks happen. Accidents happen. Sickness happens. Because we live in a fallen world. But the redemption of our souls will include the resurrection of our bodies. And we will be in heaven. And we will be in a perfect state.
Yeah.
That's where we can now understand that we've been formed for that, not for this.
Yeah. So the big takeaway from your moment the other day was, number one, burdens are purposeful if they've come to you. Mm-hmm. But the second is you can give them to him. You can bring them into the inner chamber with you and leave them there.
Yeah. And the third one is that there are some burdens where we're not supposed to carry.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think that this is where you have to start identifying, is this something I can do anything about?
Mm-hmm.
Now, my old days, if there was something that needed to be done, I would break through walls to get it done.
Right.
I'd climb them. I'd break through them. I'd find doors. I'd dig under. And I'm going to find a remedy. I'm going to find an answer for that. And I had to understand that many times I was fighting against the closed door that God was putting before me. And I don't win with that. I don't win if I try to break down a closed door that he wants there. I win when the door is opened by him. And man, you know what it's like. Sometimes when those doors are open, it's as smooth as a skid with grease on it.
Mm.
You just go and you say, wow, I'm in the Lord's lane on this one. He's pushing this along.
Mm-hmm.
But then a lot of the things that we wrestle with and struggle with our own making,
mm-hmm.
our own ambition. We can call it, well, I'm just serving the Lord, but it could be our own ambition.
Mm.
And I do feel like that the best thing we can do is to try to position ourselves in such a way that we can hear him and that we'll obey him, that we'll yield him to him, and then we will trust him and we will entrust things to him.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be some burdens that are light and he'll want us to carry, and they are purposeful. They are for a reason, not only for helping others, but help ourselves, because mm-hmm. it's carrying burdens that we get strength. But at the same time, there are certain burdens that Satan will put on us, or circumstances put on us, that the Lord says, look, just give that to me. That's not yours to carry.
Mm.
Entrust it to me. I got it.
Mm. Well, I want to read this. I found this verse in Jeremiah 17 the other day, and I think it relates. But Jeremiah says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He's like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. He's not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit.
Mm.
So it doesn't matter the circumstance. Doesn't, you know, you get, yeah. I mean, that's that. To me, that was a picture of abiding. Do you think that was?
Oh, gosh, yeah. and it's interesting because there are certain, I would say, theologians that say that they don't want to change a verse. They want to read a verse, and they want to accept a verse just like it is.
Mm-hmm.
But they choose not to look at what the verse is saying.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's a metaphor right there.
Mm.
And if you just say, blesses a man, he's like a tree. Well, that's going to miss something.
Right, right.
It's like a tree complaining about water. Well, that's going to miss something. You got to go deeper now. What does that mean? Well, let's see. Living water?
Yeah, that's right.
Roots in living water?
Mm-hmm.
What comes from living water through the roots is a tree. What comes from the tree is the fruit. The mm-hmm. fruit comes from the living water.
That's right.
Same symbolism of abiding.
The living water is the Holy Spirit.
Yeah. There you go.
That's right.
And so you've got to read these things, but you have to understand there's more to it.
Yeah.
And that's what we love doing. We like digging into more to it and thinking of it creatively and asking those questions, but always staying in theology. We don't stray outside of theology, but we're just not going to box it in. And some people do.
Yeah. Well, and I didn't read the preceding verse that says, cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart turns away from the Lord. He's like a shrub in the desert and shall not see any good come. He shall dwell in the parched places of the wilderness in an uninhabited salt land.
Yeah.
You know, so there's the contrast.
And, you know, you could say, well, that's actually, they're talking about the, you know, the Dead Sea. They're talking about, well, that geographic location.
Yeah.
But we talk about the refugee camp.
Right, right.
That it's a spiritual desolation.
Yeah.
Even though you can be on top of your game and have mm-hmm. billions of dollars. But if you're not right with Christ, you're living in spiritual desolation. And that's what it looks like right there.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and I think that I brought that up because it's kind of like trying to deal with your burdens and fix it yourself is trusting in man. It's trusting in your flesh.
Yes.
But you bringing the burdens to him is trusting in the Lord.
Point.
And you're blessed if you trust him.
Point made. You're right. It's very, very clear there that it's they're burdens that we can't carry. And the ones we can, God says do.
Yeah.
But if for those that we can't, he says give them to me.
Yeah. So we're calling a summit, right? We're creating a summit, and we haven't had one in a few years, and we're asking men to come join us. And the theme has come to me because
mm-hmm.
I think we believe and we know that these are our warriors. These are our army mm-hmm. of men. And some of them are burdened. Some of them are carrying burdens. Some of them are beat up. And we don't know, but we're just inviting them to come so we can all come before the Lord together and let him do his ministering work on us and get us ready for what we think is going to be a huge harvest ahead. You know, with this movie coming out and all the things we're seeing happening, all the invitations to other countries and all that. So let's talk about that in the last remaining minutes about what, you know, we've talked about it a little bit before, but we got a couple hundred guys signed up for this summit, you know, from all around the country, and we could still take more. So there may be people listening to this that are on the fence about whether they need to come. And what would we say to them? Would you say, Rocky, or anything else you want to say about the summit, what your sense of this particular summit is in comparison to others, maybe?
Well, you know, we're maturing as a ministry. Mm-hmm. And we have a lot of people coming from different parts of the world. Mm-hmm. And each one of them represents a view of the parade, so
right.
to speak.
That's right.
And what God is showing them in their geographic regions, but also maybe in their church or maybe in their own individual self-feeding and walk. And we always find that joining together like that with mutually minded people, that we cross-pollinate ideas. And this is what we want to do. We want to bring them in and give them a place of refuge, a place of burden downloading, a place of encouragement. We want to give them rest. We will also want to give them a catalyst. That catalyst will be able to take home and carry it forward. It's not going to be event driven. It's not like an event. It's going to be more like how would you describe it? Not an event.
A homecoming, a family reunion, a gathering of brothers. I always describe it as coming off the battlefield to be have your wounds bounded up and get fortified to go back out on the battlefield. But it's not when we say it's not an event. There's a program and there's some mm-hmm. scheduling, but we try not to over-program it. We try to allow margin for the Holy Spirit to work in the midst of it.
Yeah, I think an event. It limits the what it really is. That's a description that some people say, well, I come in for an hour or two and celebrate and throw my hands up and get wild and zany and all there. That's event. Or it could be a big gathering around, a Promise Keeper rally or something like that. That
was an event. A speaker,
But this is going to be more of an immersion.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a marinating.
Right, there you go.
Together and in the Spirit. But also with the hopes that it will minister to that person at their point of need and equip them to minister to others when they go home.
Yeah, that's right.
And, and we've always found it to be true. That's exactly what happens. And every time we've had these things, we've seen great life change, renewal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I would say here's another word that I like to use. I want to use it more often, and that is awakening.
Mm-hmm.
I think it'll be an awakening for us as a ministry to have this number of people together with our intentionality and going close to Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so too. I think there's more men that are going to be signing up. I mean, it's less than a month away, and a lot of guys are just kind of, oh, I thought I already registered for that.
I've heard a lot of that.
That's happened a lot. Yeah, so I can see it going up quickly. But
It needs to. I mean, they need to. They need to join this because there's not a lot of these things out there going to be like this, and we won't have another for 2 years.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's an investment of time and money to be here, but I can guarantee it's one that'll pay dividends many, many times over.
Yeah, we don't know when the movie is going to come out, but there's a chance it'll come out before the next summit. I don't know the timing of it all. We're just going through it by faith, but this could be in a very important preparation, I think.
I think it is, honestly, because I think that the movie is what we're trying to do is build momentum toward that movie, and right now we're in the developmental stages, which requires a lot of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And later on, we'll be in the expressing stages of the movie, which is going to require a lot of prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to have a follow-up of the movie, and that's going to require even more prayer.
Yeah.
So we're committed to a few years of praying.
Yeah.
And so when we come together like that, hopefully we can give them a vision, a taste of what it looks like, what it's going to look like. I've read the treatment today, and I'm excited about what I'm reading.
Tell them what a treatment is, in case they don't know.
Well, our screenwriter is very, very good, very experienced in this, 35 years in it. And he takes the book, and then he has to adapt the book into a screenplay that can be used for feature-length motion picture.
Mm-hmm.
And so some screenwriters take liberty with the book. In this case, he did not take liberty. There are just things in there that had to be worked for a movie because, in a book, I'll write several pages just to describe a farm scene, word pictures and da da da. But in a movie, you don't have to have that. You just show the farm scene.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have as much dialogue as you would in a book, but you have strategic dialogue, strategic scenes. Does it flow with the intentions of the book? Does it express the message of the book? Does it do all of those things? Mm. And his first run at it was pretty close. Mm. There are some things I've recommended, and he's graciously said, yeah, no problem. And of course, the rest of you guys are going to look at it and give your opinion as well. But as far as I'm concerned, I'm seeing something I'm excited about.
Yeah, and he's going to be at the summit with us.
Is he?
Yeah, good. Along with the whole Journey Productions team.
Well, we can get him interviewed up there and let
people
hear.
Yes, we're going to. Yeah. We're going to. We'll have a little portion. We talk about mm-hmm. that. We got a big contingency from Rwanda, from Colombia, South America, from Costa Rica, from Bakersfield. A big group mm-hmm. of guys coming from Bakersfield. Tulsa's got several guys, Northwest Arkansas.
You know, Brian has that Wind Call of the Heart series that he writes.
Talking about Brian Bird, our screenwriter.
Brian Bird, yeah. And it's in the 12th season, is that right?
I think they're just announced their 11th or 12th.
Yeah, 11th or 12th, something. Yeah. And so they have a real loyal, loyal group of people. They call them Hardys.
Right.
Right. He's got 4 million Hardys. Did I hear that?
Something like that.
Four million Hardys that follows him.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think that we got a guy who, well, you know, the thing I'm impressed about him, Brian, is I think he gets us. Mm. He gets us. He gets us as a ministry.
Yeah.
He's going through the journey. I think he gets us at the DNA level. Mm. And it resonates with him. And this is what I've been praying for, is that somebody that God would bring understands us at the heart level. Mm. The giveaway is Wind Calls the Heart.
Yeah, yeah.
But understands us at the heart level and is able to translate that into a film.
Yeah.
And into a beckoning call to the body of Christ, because that's what we're going for.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to the podcast that I did with Brian Bird, go back and listen to it. Go to our podcast page, because it was really awesome. A lot of people have listened to that one. It was, mm-hmm. and I've gotten a lot of good feedback. But
well, about this burden thing.
Yes.
You know, I believe that this is one of the big opportunities in this day and time, because a lot of people are burdened. They're burdened with the economy. They're burdened with safety. They're burdened with anger all around them. They're burdened about the future. They're burdened about investments. We're burdened about, you know, do I have enough? And when you got people that are really burdened, and you walk in saying, I've got some help for you, then they're going to be more attentive to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that we are entering into an age as a ministry that we're going to have more and more people attentive to what we give. And I'd like to think that the movie is going to be one of those, that they're going to see, here's an opportunity to download some of my burdens. Here's an opportunity to find some help.
Yeah.
And if we see it, if we have a good movie where a lot of people are watching this, then it's going to reach a lot of people who are burdened.
Because I think you're right. I think a lot of people are dealing with their burdens with drugs and alcohol, with antidepressants, with just with pornography or just checking out.
Escapism
with other things.
Yeah.
Or they're going to church looking for answers, and they're just kind of maybe getting a feel-good message, but they're not really, it's not sustaining throughout the week. Mm-hmm. You know, they're looking for something that they haven't found yet. And I think that we would say they're looking for that, what Jesus said they're looking for, an intimate abiding relationship with
yeah.
him. And that's how you deal with your burdens.
And you know, the thing about our heart for churches.
Yes.
Is we want to help them with that.
That's right.
Because I think a lot of the programming of the present and the past is, well, it's been structured around the way you do church. And I think what we're trying to do is get back to why we do church.
Mm-hmm.
And it is about the relationship with Christ. It's not the relationship with the church, relationship with Him.
Yeah.
And I think when we can help churches see that and understand maybe a method, maybe a process that can help their members come to that, fall in love with Jesus again.
Yeah.
Then the church is going to be benefited. And that's what we want. We want the church to be healthy and grow and expand.
Yeah. And just to remind everybody out there, we've started a deal called the Influencers Church Discipleship Network. Mm-hmm. We're trying to ask churches to partner with us. and this would be holding hands after the movie to help reach all the people that are going to be looking for how do I find out about this journey thing?
Yeah.
And they're all positioned out there all over the country already in strategic locations that God planted them. And we just want to work with them, you know?
So I'm gonna throw something out here because I can just hear on the other line here, somebody, maybe a pastor heard that and said, partner with it. Uh-huh. They're wanting money. We're not saying that.
No.
We want to partner with you to help you do your ministry strongly.
Yeah.
And we will train you and use in our curriculum. We ask nothing except just let us serve you.
Yeah.
And that is true. I mean, we're not asking for any kind of donation for these churches. We're just trying to help those churches.
Yeah.
And that's the way it will be.
I forget when you use words like partner. Yeah, sometimes it's misunderstood.
Well, it's not misunderstood. It's understood, quite frankly, the way it is. Maybe we ought to use another one. Maybe I don't know what another one would be, but it would be similar to partner, but it would be more like brother.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help.
That's right.
Assist.
That's right.
Be there for you. Come alongside.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think their heart is like ours, is to reach people that need to be, that are seeking.
Indeed.
That is seeking to go deeper. And we think that it's going to be a layup. You know, these people are going to be coming out looking for help, you know, and there they are. So it could help grow their church, you know, so too. So anyway, well, we're out of time, Rocky, but, thank you for your time. And we'll just keep putting the appeal out there to anybody who, you know, pray about coming to the summit. If you're not signed up and registered, pray about it and see if the Holy Spirit might change your mind on that. And if you are a pastor or if you're part of a church out there, which I know thousands of our people are, everybody's part of a church, most everybody, tell your pastor about this discipleship network that we've started, and we'd love to talk to him about it. So, go back to our influencers website, and you can find other podcasts that we've done. If you go into resources and podcasts, you'll find all those there too. So, this has been the Influencers Network podcast, and my name is Brian Craig. I'm the Executive Director for Influencers Global Ministries. I'm going to keep encouraging you to abide in Christ and go make disciples. God bless you.